Welcome to the Smart Family Podcast, where we want to help you love being home. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rob Meter and Tony Newhoff.
Well, hi there, and welcome to the Smart Family Podcast. My name is Tony, and I'll be your host today. If you haven't joined us before, hey, we are so grateful that you've tuned in. Today's episode is all about that feeling of, well, you're at work, you're in the flow, you're getting things done, but you've got this nagging feeling that there's something at home that you need to be doing. And on the flip side, if you're at home and you finally have time with your family, you've got this nagging feeling about the things on your to-do list at work that just didn't get done. And hey, let's face it, whether you're at home or whether you're at work, those responsibilities are never quite done, are they? There's always something that you have to leave for the next day. So that feeling of guilt can be relentless. And as working moms, we have many responsibilities, many balls that we're juggling, and to keep them all in the air is quite the feat. And so today we wanted to dedicate this episode to talking about mom guilt. But if you're a dad, don't run away, because what you'll hear today on this episode, I believe, will be eye-opening for you in your relationship. And as well, there may be something in there that you would want to apply in your life. So Dr. Michelle Deering is a psychologist who believes that every mother and daughter should have a thriving, loving relationship. She has a podcast called The Mother-Daughter Connections. And she wrote a book called What Mothers Never Tell Their Daughters. She founded and runs an organization called curativeconnections.com, and it's through her decades of psychology experience that she has ended up in this niche practice of helping mother and daughter relationships. As a psychologist, Dr. Deering started out in corporate America and then transitioned to sports psychology, where she found herself working with female athletes who had eating disorders. And through that practice, started to see the connection between the health or dysfunction between mother and daughter and how that was showing up in her athletes. And that led her to the niche that she practices currently. So I am so excited to welcome Dr. Michelle Deering to today's podcast. Let's dive right in. Dr. Michelle Deering, thank you for coming and joining us on the Smart Family Podcast.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Tony.
Hey, I really want our listeners to get to know you, a bit about your background, and what led you to delve into the area of psychotherapy?
it's interesting. I feel like I was this reluctant participant in terms of my entry into it. But in terms of my background, I was born in the South Bronx, raised by Bronx, New York, raised by a single mom who immigrated from Jamaica. I was the unexpected surprise when she fled my abusive father, who was her husband at the time, and so she realized she had me. So I grew up in a Jamaican household, typical Jamaican household. For any of your listeners who may be familiar or not familiar, it's everything is about King's English, prim and proper, everything, you know, appearances. Okay. And so yes. For me, my relationship with my mom wasn't as close because she was just very critical, always wanted me to be on my P's and Q's and have everything proper. And so that was kind of the dynamic between us. And so the way I dealt with that was by just throwing myself into my academics and my athletics. So I excelled at that. Fast forward, I had dreams of, I'm going to become a medical doctor, because in our household, there were only three choices, doctor, lawyer, or engineer. And so I was like, okay. I picked one. And so that got her off my back for a while until I got to Brown University, was a bio major, but somewhere along the line hit organic chemistry and was sort of like, okay, let's rethink things. But as I was thinking about, my exposure to psychology, I remember a psychology professor who actually, when I went into his office hours, he asked me, was I having fun? He was the first person to ask me, was I having fun as a college student? And actually started helping me learn how to make things a little bit more balanced in terms of work and play, which was a concept.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Never knew that before, growing up. And so again, fast forward, you know, I graduate with a biology degree, work in corporate America. And in part of my position as in corporate America as a human resource trainer, I was doing outreach to students in the greater Boston, Massachusetts area, and had a student who I employed at the time. And just that whole experience got me thinking about young people and how they transition through life. And then fast forward, you know, felt a call to actually, you know, go back to grad school and become a psychologist. And that's where the, you know, oh, what am I doing? I didn't think that I'd be doing that.
Yes.
Ended up getting licensed as a psychologist in the state of New Jersey, and then became board certified as a sports psychologist and started working with student athletes who were female but had eating disorders. And it was in my work with students with eating disorders that I started to realize there's something to this mother thing, because anytime I'm doing the background on them and would hear about the relationship with their mom, it seemed like to be this correlation between when we would fix that, we would fix, you know, the issues. So that just got me curious. Fast forward, I end up having twin daughters, wanted to have a better relationship with them. And, you know, with all my good intentions, it started off great, but then, you know, it got a little strained just before middle school. And I had a wake up moment where I just realized, I really need to kind of do things a little bit differently. And it was that journey of doing things differently that I learned some principles that I then incorporated in my book, What Mothers Never Tell Their Daughters. And my heart and my passion is to help the next generation one mom at a time, because moms are so, so burdened with so many things going on. And my heart is to be of help to them.
Yeah. Wow. Well, kudos to that professor for caring. You know, for caring enough to ask the personal question.
Yes, yes, yes. It actually really left a mark on me with regards to that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So today we really want to delve into this whole topic of mom guilt. Mm. And you're so well positioned to talk about this because of all the work you've done as a psychotherapist and particularly with moms and moms and daughters. Mm-hmm. But hey, I want to mention to you dads who are out there listening, don't go away, because this is something that you need to know about too. And I think, Dr. Michelle, you're going to have advice for moms and dads. Mm-hmm. So I am wondering if you could just isolate one thing that would be a takeaway message from today. If there was one thing that you would focus on that you wouldn't want anyone to miss, what would that be?
Mm-hmm. I really want moms to know that they are enough. And if you're the mom of a daughter in particular, you were meant to be your daughter's mom for a reason, and to not lose sight of that. Because a lot of times, and we'll get into this a little bit, but a lot of times as moms, we want to, quote unquote, do it right all the time. And anytime we mess up, we then feel like, okay, there's no way back. But those points of imperfection, because I believe the only thing that we do perfectly as moms is that we love our daughters imperfectly. So, but those points of imperfection are actually opportunities for a different kind of connection that can bring you closer. So just know that that's the reason why you're supposed to be your daughter's mom.
I love that message. I am curious about how you, with your professional experience, would define mom guilt. Like, is it something that you can define? What are we actually talking about today?
If the word guilt in and of itself within psychology is all about thinking or feeling that you've done something wrong. And there's a branch of psychology that studies this thing called moral development that purports that guilt is something that you learn, and not to get into the semantics, but whereas I think there's an aspect of that, I don't fully buy that, because there's other research out there by Dr. Paul Bloom out of Yale University that shows that babies actually have a sense of morality. Because to have guilt, you got to have some inner compass somewhere that something's right and wrong. And I believe that you have that knowledge at birth. Okay. And Dr. Paul Bloom's research is out of Yale is showing that babies as young as 3 months old have that sense already. So I think both are there. But as it comes to mom guilt, that whole terminology in the colloquial and societal discourse, I think that is really about the torn feeling that moms have within them between what is externally expected of them and what they internally feel they need or desire or want. And that there's a conflict in there, and that feeds it. And just to answer your question, like off the bat, I think internally moms have what I call like a maternal moral sense of what it means to be whole, to hold their child, to give to their child, to feed their child. And if they aren't doing any of those three things, then something kind of kicks in and goes, uh-oh, kind of stuff. But just that's like a roundabout way to answer your question. But it's really that torn thing that goes on inside of a mom.
Okay, yes. So what would you say are the top, you know, maybe three or some 3 to 5 sources of mom guilt? And then along with that, along with what the sources are, like, what can women do?
Well, even though I'm in the field of psychology, and everyone's heard of Freud, right? So going through my doctoral program, I was sort of like, okay, maybe he's totally full of it, but maybe he's not. And I kind of, you know, the whole thing about tell me about your mother kind of stuff, I'm not about like laying blame. I'm all about folks gaining an understanding. So with that said, I think it's important for moms who are listening to know that I think that the 3 sources of that mom guilt have to do with what I call the 3 nuffs. It's the not being good enough, not doing enough, and not being enough. And I think those kind of messages get conveyed to us, whether explicitly or implicitly, in the first relationship that we have post-birth, which is with our mom. The way in which she responds to us, doesn't respond to us, the way in which she, you know, communicates to us or doesn't, those things inform how we feel about ourselves and whether or not we're good enough, doing enough, or being enough. And when we don't deal with what's gone on between us and our moms, because we as moms are first daughters, then you're just going to keep spiraling through what I call a cycle of overcompensation to get rid of the pain that's on there, or the hurt that's under there.
The first and the third, you said whether we're good enough, and the third one was whether we're being enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you just tease out the difference between those for us?
Yeah. The good enough has to do with, has a standard been met? Okay. So there's an expectation and there's a standard met. The being enough, which I think is one of the more insidious nuffs out there, is where it calls into question the quality of something not being possessed, which has to do with your own personhood.
Yes. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
So not the meeting a certain standard, but it's just the whole
your existence,
the holistic existence. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So those are the three culprits there. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, let's say there's somebody listening right now, and that idea of feeling like they just can't be enough, or they're not good enough to meet the standards that they're sensing from either their, you know, culture, community around them, people mm-hmm. around them, parents, wherever. Mm-hmm. What would you say a valuable first step would be for somebody who's resonating with that?
Yeah. Anyone who hangs around me long enough or short enough, if I have not said in your presence, it is important for moms to pause to consider the body of their behavior. That is like what I think is like so key for us moms. It's that pausing. And then once you've paused to consider what's going on, not only in and I'm putting in quotations, the body of behavior, like what your actions over time and patterns and things, but what's going on in your body? Because our body tells us a lot. And there's a famous book mm-hmm. out there called The Body Keeps the Score Within Psychological Realms.
Yes, with Bessel van der Kolk.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. we store a whole bunch. And I never used to think that until after I started working with young ladies who had eating disorders. And, but yes, it is very true. So really the first step that I would encourage moms to take, or even gentlemen who are out there, because guys process things differently, though they still have, very strong emotions, is to really just pause to consider what's going on in your body. Have your shoulders gone from being flat? You can't see me while I'm doing this, but my shoulders are flat, and then, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your shoulders are kind of hunched up,
Yes.
Do you notice right. that? Do you notice that? So just that would be the first step.
So I'd love to switch gears at this point and talk about first-time moms. Mm. I talk to our first-time moms who are listening, because I think, we go through all the excitement and the anticipation of mm-hmm. having a baby for the first time, and it's wonderful. It's amazing.
Yes.
But then I think there can be, episodes of depression, for example, postpartum depression, yeah. or difficult circumstances, or something doesn't work out, or there's an illness, mm-hmm. and that, there's a whole mixture of feelings, and it might not be excitement. Mm-hmm. That can really provoke guilt in moms who feel like there's such a contrast between how everybody else is responding to the baby and how they themselves feel. So yeah. What would you say to first-time moms who are struggling with guilt?
First off, you're not alone. It can be an isolating thing, especially when there are particular circumstances that you're facing that other people don't seem to be facing around you. But just know that you're not alone, and that, seeking out help will be helpful to you. I'm not a medical doctor, but the reality of postpartum depression is totally legit. And if you're sensing that and experiencing those kinds of symptoms, then definitely availing yourself of a local clinician, mental health clinician in the area. Even talk to your gynecologist or whoever is your primary doctor about what you're experiencing, because they're there to help. Okay, there's help around. In terms of, I think a lot of times folks enter into, women enter into motherhood with this concept of that being a mom is self-sacrifice. You're only a good mom if you're self-sacrificing. And I disagree. If you're sacrificing yourself so much, you'll have no self to give to your kids. And so if you can think about it like how we've all heard, if you've been on a plane, oxygen mask, you need to put yours on first. You really need mm-hmm. to put yours on first and then attend to your child. And then the other thing that I think that new moms experience is that there's this pressure. It's societal, but this whole idea of you have to be present all the time with your kid. I contend that that is not the case for psychological health for your child. They need to have periods of time where they are separate from you. It's you birthed them. They were in you. You birthed them. So separation is part of the natural process. So it's important to realize that. And then the other thing, and I alluded to it earlier, new moms always think that, and even seasoned moms think that they have to do it on their own. And so they have this difficulty with asking for help. And because, you know, we've seen the commercials. You know, I'm not going to date myself with one of the commercials. It was for this perfume where the woman was saying, I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man because I'm a woman. I got this perfume. And I'm sort of like, okay, we can go to the 80s, disco, I'm every woman. You know, it's like, it's the messages are out there. And whereas that is great to build up, to build us up, to let us know we have strength. Be settled in that strength and know that the strong leaders, the smart leaders, the wise leaders know what they don't know and know how to go ask for help. Because your role as a mom is as a leader in your home, and that's what you need to model for. That's what you're going to be modeling for your children and your daughter in particular.
Yes. How do you see that self-sacrificial attitude playing out in negative ways?
Oh, in negative ways? It's an insidious thing. When you use the word negative, I'll use the word detrimental. It's almost where a mom has prioritized everybody else's schedule ahead of her own. I'm thinking of a mom I was working with last fall who, you know, she had no problems shuttling her kids everywhere in which way to everything, making sure that her husband had whatever he needed and whatnot. And in the middle of the whole thing, I just asked her, what's your schedule? And it was a foreign concept to her.
Okay, yes.
But what we don't realize is, and that's just an example, what we don't realize is, self-sacrifice is really about how are you going to prioritize what your needs are in addition to everyone else's needs, but then verbalize and communicate to your family what it is you need. I think a lot of times the detrimental aspect of self-sacrifice is that we don't say anything. It's like in an age where we're wanting our daughters to be empowered and whatnot. Well, they need to see their moms speaking up for themselves, you know, and expressing themselves in ways that create space for them to also grow, so they don't lose themselves and find themselves, you know, 18 years, 21 years after their kids have gone out, and then they don't know who they are, or they look at their partner and they're like, who are you?
Yes. Yeah.
And then nice we have problems. You. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We talk a lot on this podcast about the basics, about the diet, sleep, and exercise. Like, are you actually feeding yourself properly? Mm-hmm. Not just eating the scraps off the kids' plates.
Yes.
Are you sleeping or even asking for help so that you can sleep?
Mm-hmm.
And are you getting some exercise?
Yes.
Because I think you're quite right. Women do feel that tug toward caring for the child, and maybe there's more than one, and you know, and then everything else seems to be put at the bottom of the priority list. And you know, the day goes on and one day turns into a week, turns into a month, and you haven't done anything for yourself.
Right. And that's where the resentment comes in. And it's sort of like, and I know that we've raised our daughters where we're like, look, we're not mind readers. You need to tell us what it is you need, because you can't sit there and fume. If we don't know what it is that you're fuming about, we're just, you know, going about our business. Sure. So, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. So speak up.
Yes.
So let's now speak to our listeners who are working outside of the house. So yes. We're going beyond the newborn stage.
Yes.
We are talking to moms who carry a significant responsibility outside of their house. And so what I'm thinking about is the therapist like yourself who maybe deal with people who have some heavy burdens to bear. They've got, depression or they're grieving, or you're talking to a medical doctor or maybe someone who was practicing family law as I was before. Yes. You know, there's all kinds of fields that have that emotional burden that you need to deal with as part of your job, frontline responders, for sure.
Yeah.
What would you say to help moms who are maybe feeling guilty because they feel like they can't be fully present because of the impact of what they're doing outside of the house? What strategies can women who are in that position use?
The thing that first comes to mind is that it's important. I can't even emphasize, and everyone's heard the term self-care, but I want to put a twist to it. It's caring to look at yourself as to what is making it hard for you to, or more difficult for you to erect certain mental and emotional boundaries. And you reference, say being a psychologist, okay, we're doing this mental health work with folks. It's very important for us to be able to erect those boundaries, sort of like have some demarcation in our own mind and heart as to, what's going on in my body? Am I able to, is it spilling over? Is it not? How can I readjust these boundaries? Do I, for some people, it might mean, not leaving yourself as available to every client, but only some clients over the weekend or for emergency calls and things of that nature. How are you setting up your practice? How are you, communicating? If you're feeling like you're on edge, and things are just feeling like they're spilling over into your home life and you're feeling guilty about that, really it's about, and I'm sounding like a broken record, pause, to consider the body of behavior that's contributing to what's making it difficult. Ever since COVID, I mean, the stats are out there in terms of how there are so many people who are needing and accessing mental health services and whatnot. And the clinicians themselves have wait lists. I don't know what it's like in Canada. I know that's the case here in the United States.
There's some long wait for some healthcare services here for sure.
Right. I know that there are different entities that are providing specific care for those kinds of caregivers. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, for frontline responders,
things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I also would say that even if you're a mom out there and you're not a frontline responder and stuff, we're not saying all of this to downplay the fact that if you are working outside the home, that in and of itself during these times is difficult and a burden and likely to contribute to the guilt because of the pressures, whether it's economic or just your employer not being as flexible as they could be because of their economic situation. So we're feeling the pressure all around. So that's why being part of a community, whether it's in your church, synagogue, mosque, anything that you have that additional support is going to be really key during this time.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear you emphasizing community because, they do say it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
And I think that's what you're getting at right now. Do you have anything more to say about that concept? What I'm thinking of in particular is The listener who says, yeah, okay, I get the importance of community, but right now I've moved into a new community, or, you know, we were a part of a group, but we're not a part of it anymore. So how do I manage building that community when I'm also working and also looking after my kids?
Right. I hear you on that. Just know that I hear you on that. I recently had a guest on my podcast who quoted an African proverb that said, that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with others. Mm-hmm. And so just to piggyback off the It Takes a Village, for those who say have moved into a new place or they're not, or they've left a community, I would encourage you to broaden your eyesight just a little bit, even just a degree, to be receptive to help coming from unexpected places. It could be as simple as, you know, someone who you encounter at the grocery store and you see them often, but you've never struck up a conversation with them. It's almost like we have to step outside of ourselves, outside of our comfort zone, just a little bit, just to reach out. Or if someone is kind to us, but it's not coming from a place that we would expect, then note that, really pause to consider, what's that about? You know, might this be a possibility? And it can be easier for extroverts as opposed to those who are introverted. So, you know, I know for myself, my daughters are like, oh my God, mom, you talk to everybody. Everyone's talking to you at the store. Da, 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 da. And I was like, really? I am an introvert. But, you know, over the years, I've, exercised my extrovert muscles just because I recognize, you know, there's so many potential blessings all around that I might not be aware of, but they come in different kinds of packages. So that would be my encouragement to someone who's found themselves in that kind of situation.
Yeah, like stretch yourself out of your comfort zone and maybe accept that invitation to volunteer at the school for a certain event, or strike up a conversation with the other parent who's watching your kids, you know, participate in a play or a sporting event.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hesitate because I have a soft spot for single moms, because I was raised by a single mom. And so I know that, you know, you're just trying to keep, if you're a single mom listening, just not, I know you're trying to just keep things going and you're trying your best. I know the times you want your little ones or whoever your kids are, whatever the age, just pitch in a little bit more. I understand the frustration. We're not suggesting that you take on more, it's just be open a little bit more because the help is there. Okay.
Yeah. And maybe it looks like play date, or somehow accomplishing what you need to accomplish, but doing it alongside other people so that you have that community, you know, even helping each other with cleaning, for example, you know, do it communally.
Yes. No, I hear you. I hear you. And, and within the community, again, no one's perfect, but we have to kind of know what makes us float and what gives us life. Okay, and so, you know, you can have community. There's some communities. When I say using the larger sense, where, okay, if you find that you feel more downtrodden and beaten up as a result of hanging around certain people, then you might not want to do that anymore.
Yes.
Or if you're feeling like someone's just, you know, quote unquote, using you to dump their drama on you, then you might need to pull back if you don't have the space to, in this season, to carry that with them. You're not being selfish and you're not being unkind. You're actually being more loving by being honest about where you are. So,
So pay attention that these relationships that you may be interested in, that they're actually energizing for you and not draining.
Yes.
Dr. Deering, I would love for people to be able to find you and connect with you. Where can they do that?
There are two places. One, folks can subscribe to and or download episodes from my podcast, which is called Mother-Daughter Connections. You'll find that on all platforms. And then you can also become part of my email community, because I have a free download for moms. And even gentlemen can download it too, where it's called The Quick Guide to Less Arguments. And you can get that at bit.ly/less arguments. Even though it's a quick guide for less arguments, the principles, there are three things that you can apply them to your marriage. You can apply them, but I was specifically writing it for if you have a tween or teen daughter, because that's a really important age group that I have a real big heart for. So those are the two ways that folks can get in touch with me.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And your website again is?
Yes, is www.curativeconnections.com.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, again, we so appreciate you spending the time to share your wisdom with us. Thank you. And hopefully our paths will cross again.
Yeah, I hope so too. It's been such a pleasure being here with you, Toni.
Yeah, thank you. Likewise. Hey, wasn't that a great conversation? I wanted to highlight a few points that Dr. Deering made that I thought were so good. First of all, did her definition of mom guilt resonate with you? That you sometimes feel like you're not good enough as a parent, or you're not doing enough, or you can't be enough for your people? And how does that feel in your body? Really take a pause to pay attention to what your body is feeling like. Secondly, I love that she dispelled the myth that you have to be present all the time for your child, because in some circles, that would be a significant pressure, and yet it's not true. And thirdly, how are you going to prioritize and verbalize and communicate your needs to your family? She gave us some real food for thought. If you haven't left us a review in the past, we would be so grateful if you would just hop over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. And as well, if there are any experts or topics that you'd like to hear, Dr. Rob and I are always open to hearing from you. Contact us on Instagram or Facebook, or just send us a note through our website, smartfamilypodcast.com. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We're committed to bringing you experts and thought leaders to provide resources for you and practical advice to help you love being home.